Listen to me. Nehemiah had a good rapport with the king. There was trust and there was love and there was bond. Why? Because he had a good rapport with God. Listen to me. Your vertical, when that's right on, your horizontal will be. When your vertical is bad, your horizontal will be.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Thank you for joining us on this episode as we continue through Nehemiah chapter 2. So far, we've seen burden, prayer, waiting, and faith. Today, in verses 5 through 9, we see God beginning to put his plan into motion. Nehemiah had already passed one test, the faith to wait. Now comes the faith to ask and the faith to challenge. He asks the king for permission, for resources, and for protection. These weren't small requests, but Nehemiah understood something important. If God was calling him to do the work, God would provide what was needed for the work. The king grants his requests, and the journey toward restoration officially begins. God's plan requires both patient trust and courageous action. Many believers miss what God wants to do because they're willing to pray, but unwilling to step forward when God answers. Has God already answered a prayer in your life by opening a door, and are you willing to walk through it? Let's join Pastor Ben in today's lesson from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. God has an awesome plan for you. Here's Pastor Ben.
Chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. Now, remember, guys, put your thinking caps on because you got to grasp this. 4 months of praying and fasting. 4 months, Nehemiah left the job. He'd be on his face. Oh, Lord, what's going on? Please, Lord, give me wisdom. My people are broken. I heard the bad news. 4 months of praying and became a time that God was preparing Nehemiah. And during this time, Nehemiah was learning too. You ready? In this wait time, it was trust God in that time of waiting. Is there a place in your life where you go, yep, I know what it's talking about. I'm trusting God. I'm learning to trust God. I'm learning to trust God. We know during this time, it was to give heartache in his pain to God. Lord, take it. Lord, my people, please. And we see that he was building his faith for the task at hand. The task at hand. You go, what task? He's still in Susa. He's still the king's cupbearer. It's been 4 months. Is God going to do anything? Here's the point I want to make. I want you to notice, and I want you to jot this down. Nehemiah never took matters in his own hands. Even though his burdens became his visions, he still had to wait on God. Ooh, that's good stuff right there. Why? Because I'm the first one to take matters in my own hands. I'll make phone calls. I'll do this, whatever I need. And he's like, no. Here's what we need to learn. Remember, we're in the text. Lord, I'm not taking matters in my own hands. I'm going to trust you. I want you to notice, Nehemiah said, I had never been sad in his presence. Now, this is interesting. You go, why? 4 months. 4 months, Nehemiah has had this desire, has had this burden, he's weeping, he's mourning, but he still does his job undetected. Undetected. You go, why? Because remember, it was a federal crime to be sad in the presence of the king. We learned this last week. The idea was the king was such a wonderful person that merely being in his presence was supposed to be for you and me to forget all your problems. Oh, I'm in the king's presence. And when Nehemiah looked sad, it could only be taken as a terrible insult to the king, punishable by death. But Nehemiah's praying. He's burdened, and the only one who knows it is God. It's God. Nehemiah, listen, Nehemiah is practicing something that Jesus taught. You go, what was that? He says, when you pray and fast, church, don't make a public spectacle of it. He says, do it privately. doing. Now you have to tell your wife, because if your wife's used to making dinner and you're praying and fasting and you don't share it with your wife and she goes home, she makes all this food and you're like, oh, sorry, I'm not going to eat. She'll be like, what is wrong with you? Are you sick? Yeah. You got to tell your wife, you know, baby, I'm going to be fasting. You know, I just don't want to, you know what they were doing? They would walk around. What's the matter? I'm just praying. I'm so holy. I'm praying and fasting. Really? Oh, sorry. And they would make a spectacle of it. And Jesus says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But I wonder, church, what is that we need to fast? You know, immediately we think of food, but what if it's something that we really do need to fast? What if we need to fast social media? I've had so many people say, man, once I got off social media, man, my head cleared up. I mean, all of these great benefits. And a lot of you aren't on social media, but sometimes we need to fast that just to kind of get a clear perspective. Or maybe it's movies. Maybe we need to fast movies or whatever it might be. But don't make a public spectacle of it. Just trust the Lord. And let me just say this. There's some great natural health benefits to fasting food for a day. Okay, Lord, when I normally eat, I'm going to pray. You've never been so hungry in your life than when you're fasting, is it? Amen? I mean, I was smelling peanut butter cups in my dream, I'm telling you right now, when I was fasting. But that's just, so what can we learn from this, church? Well, again, if you're a note taker, we learn from Nehemiah's prayer at the end of his chapter. He discerned that the king would be part of his plan. Can you imagine? These Nehemiah praying for these 4 months, and the Lord's like, just that beautiful spirit. He's like, hey, Nehemiah, I got this. You go, why is that important? Here's the application. You ready? I want you to notice that Nehemiah wasn't or hadn't been trying to persuade the king for 4 months. He wasn't dropping little hints. He wasn't bringing him, you know, the wine and being like, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, here you go, king. Why are you singing that song? Oh, I don't know. You see how we do? We drop little hints. I think it'd be a little bit different in today's world, wouldn't it? Because if you really wanted to drop hints about something that you liked, you would just get on your wife's phone and just start saying, shoes, 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 shoes. And then everything would come up shoes and on your feed. That's just how it works now. He would have gotten on Artaxerxes' phone and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, they're dying. They're broken. Walls are broken. Well, and then when, okay, you guys are not following. You're not feeling this. Okay. All right. You're just not feeling this. But isn't that what our flesh does? Doesn't our flesh want to manipulate that? Not Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to trust that God's working behind the scenes. Now, I know we don't like waiting for anything. Yet, the Bible gives us some great benefits on waiting for the Lord. If you're taking note, jot this down. The first one is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall what? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a great verse that is. Those who wait on the Lord. Let's just wait. Lord, I'm going to be strength. Psalm 27, 14. Jot that down. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What's the result? Guys, listen to this. Listen. His strength and security, as well as direction for those difficult times in life. Just wait. Wait. Have the faith to wait. Psalm 62, 5 and 6. My soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Notice, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Lamentations chapter 3, 25 and 26. For the Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that the one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Your attention, please. God is preparing Nehemiah. The second thing he's going to do is going to prepare the king. Look at verse 4. Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Well, Nehemiah is waiting. The king's heart was prepared by God to respond this way. What do you request? I bet Nehemiah never noticed that God was working behind the scenes. Didn't grasp it. And I think it's a great principle for us to learn. Oftentimes, listen, our Jesus is working on things we cannot see, changing hearts of those who have been far from him. Far from him. He does that with our own hearts. He does that with others. Think about this. Somebody who you might have witnessed to 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, all of a sudden you run into them at the store and they're fully devoted followers of Jesus. And you're like, man, you blew me off that day. I was trying to tell you about Jesus and you were mocking me. Yeah, but God was doing something behind the scenes. I don't know about you guys. I have a hard time trusting God at times that he's working behind the scenes. I'm a visual person. I need to see it. Lord, can I see some of this? And he's like, no, trust me. He tells us to wait. And then last but not least, as he's preparing the king, he's going to prepare the plan. Look at verse 5. And I said to the king, so Nehemiah prays, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Verse 6. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they permit me to pass through until I come to Judah. Okay, let's stop right there. Look at my hand right here. This is Susa. This is Iraq. Okay, this is Iran. This is Iraq. Israel's way over here. So you know it's going to take a while. And so the part of the plan that God was already organizing, part of the waiting is to grow our faith and time for the plan to be developed. And sometimes vision needs time to grow and develop. Not only had Nehemiah prayed for this opportunity, but he had to plan for it too. Okay? And it's the same for us. The big buzz these days, the text that I'm getting, hey, is Jesus coming for us on the 23rd? That's the big buzz, okay? The rapture, the planets are lining up in the 23rd. And you know what I say? I hope so. Let's go. But that's the big buzz. And again, I mean, I'm just like, here's the point. You ready? Plan your life like Jesus isn't coming back for 100 years. But live your life like he's coming back in the next 5 seconds. We're going to plan our lives. Why? We don't want to sit there and be afraid. Oh, I don't want to do this. I mean, no, we want to plan our lives. You guys do it when you're ready. I'm just, yeah, no pressure. But we live our lives like he's coming back. We live our lives like he's coming back in the next 5 seconds. We live. You know what that means? You know what that means for you to live your life like he's coming back in the next 5 seconds? We don't worry about the drama stuff. We sort of like, okay, is this something I need to really hold? No, just let it go. Let it go. Do I fight my wife on this one or do I just let it go? Let it go. She's the king's cupbearer anyway. She might poison us. I don't know. He had a plan though, didn't he? He had already thought about it in his heart. You know what the hardest thing to do, church? Listen, is to have a plan and wait on God. To have a plan and wait on God. Why? Because I would have been like, I would have been throwing hints. I would have been, hey, listen, maybe I could get the queen by herself and be like, hey, could you speak to the king and tell him? He had a plan. You know what his plan was? You know how I'm going to approach this? Send me and give me. He knew exactly what to ask for. Send me, give me. Send me, give me. Note the plan. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must be giving me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city walls, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to, here's a good way to underline it, to the good hand of my God upon me. He says, then I went to the governors of the region beyond the river and gave them the letters. Now the king had said, captains of the army and the horsemen with me. You guys see this? Here's the plan. Lord, send me. And then he tells the king, now, if I found favor in your sight, here's what I need. Here's what I need. I'm going to need timber. I'm going to need letters to cross because it's a hostile. I just can't go. There's opposition. I'm going to need this. And I love what the king does. Love what the king does. Notice, the king had sent captains of the army of horsemen. He said, listen, I'm going to send these guys to protect you. Listen to me. Nehemiah had a good rapport with the king. There was trust and there was love and there was bond. Why? Because he had a good rapport with God. Listen to me. Your vertical, when that's right on, your horizontal will be. When your vertical is bad, your horizontal will be. We don't want to be employees. We don't want to be people that the world looks and goes, man, I wouldn't hire this guy. Man, he's a crook. He's a thief. Look at this. No, we want them to go, wow, that's the kind of guy, men of integrity, woman of integrity. I want all of these things, all of these things. Why? Because when it came down to it, what did he say? Listen, and the king granted them to me, how? According to the good hand of my God upon me. He didn't take credit. He didn't go, look at me. Look at me, man. Listen, when the king rang the bell, ding, 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 I was like, oh, okay, there I am. Here's the wine. All right, you good? Here's the thing. You ready? Just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. Be saturated in him. Allow the Holy Spirit. Let God use you in our city. Let God use you to love and serve people. Let God see. I mean, just Lord, use me. Use me, God. Use me. For the clerk there at Home Depot, use me, God, to share. Listen, when it comes to evangelism, sometimes the pastor shakes the tree. Whatever fruit falls, we're going to shake the tree. Mass evangelism. But I'll tell you, picking the fruit one-on-one works just as equally good. You go, what does that mean? That means the pastor will stand here and say, hey, how many of you want to give your life to the Lord? Boom, boom, boom. Whoever does, doesn't. That's a great thing. But you know what's important is when you meet one-on-one with somebody and you share the gospel and you disciple them and you walk with them. But it costs us something. It costs us time, energy, money. Think about it. Those four guys back in Mark chapter 2, the four guys who dug the roof up, who's going to pay for that? It costs them something. Oh, sorry to dig. Now you got a sunroof, right? Or when he got up, take up your mat and walk, you know, they've split. They're like, ah! No. Why? It costs them something. And Christianity costs us something. Church, listen to me. It costs us something, whether it's monetary, whether it's time, whether it's prayer. It costs us something to be that person. Why? Because the good hand of God is upon us. The good hand. Guys, I'm going to close here in just a second, but can I challenge you? Can I challenge us tonight since it's Wednesday night? Can we do this? Would you get a notebook sometime in the next week or two? Let's get a notebook and just write all the good things that God has done for you. Just what has he done? How has he blessed you? And it may be as silly as I have running water in the house. You know, the shower is great. Shampoo. But it could get down to some like, wow. And you go, why? Just so you can see the good hand of God is upon you. And because of that, your natural response is going to be, send me, Lord. Send me. If not you, who? If not us, who? Who's God going to send? You know what? God is looking for men and women who are faithful to go, yeah. These are the ones I want. These are the ones. I want them to make a difference. Why? Because they're getting fed. They know God's word. They're allowing that to move. As we close, guys, 4 months, Nehemiah has been earnestly praying that God would send him to Jerusalem and God would change the heart of the king. 4 months. When he was given the green light, he knows why. God's hand was upon me. I've been praying. Have you ever asked and then were astonished that God answered yes? You're like, oh, I didn't think he was going to answer. Wow. Far. But instead of being like, yeah, that's God. Why do we have to remind ourselves that there is no darkness in God? There is no darkness. He doesn't think like a man thinks. Well, let me see. No. You know, Lord, change my boss's heart. Lord, change my coworkers. Change her life, Lord. Lord, this sister in Albuquerque that's made some bad choices, Lord, change her heart. Help me to believe that you can still change people's heart. Help me to believe that even the worst of the worst, you can still do a work. I don't want to walk and go, oh, maybe, I hope, maybe, good luck. No, God, you can still change. You can change the drug addict. You can heal the marriage. You can heal the alcoholic. All of these things, do we believe? Not us, then who? You go, okay, Ben, give me some takeaways. Give me some takeaways for this week. Okay, number one, it's okay to wait on the Lord. You go, what does that mean? Keep praying. Keep praying. Lord, I've been praying for my boss and he is such a... Keep praying. Keep praying. Now, don't pray like David, right? David says, Lord, knock his teeth out. Lord, just knock his teeth out. That's a prayer I've prayed before. Don't do that. The takeaway for this week is as God prepares us, he's wanting to build our faith. God prepares us. He's preparing you for that task. Number three, he provides time. He provides time for God to unfold his plan. So he prepares us. He prepares those that God wants to help us. And he prepares time. Prepares time. Now, let me say this, okay? God has a plan for your life. Can I get an amen? But the devil has a plan for your life. Be ready for both. Just be wise enough to know which one to battle and which one to embrace. God's plan. Why? Because the good hand of God is upon us. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word and the truth in your word, God. And we love you this evening. We thank you, Lord. Just a few verses, but man, it's chock full of so much. So much. Lord, how can we honor you and say the good hand of God is upon us? The blessings you bestow on us, the good fruit, God, that we get to eat, Lord, the plan, the tasks. Oh, Lord, may this not be just another Wednesday night, but we would embrace your plan for us as a church, as people, to reach the lost of Lubbock, Texas, to reach the lost of Texas, of the United States, even the world. Forgive us, Lord, for short-sightedness, Lord. Well, Lord, that's all we're going to have. Amen. Stir up a hunger in us, God. Stir up a hunger for more of you. For prayer. This church needs to be a church of prayer, crying out to God for the lost, for the broken. We meet people every day, God. Divine appointments, we pray. Lord, we want to be a church full of servants serving the brokenness, God. That's our heart. Help us to walk in your plan for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
Next time in the Hope Restored series, Nehemiah finally arrives in Jerusalem. But before he starts rebuilding, he takes time to survey the damage. We'll discover why every successful rebuilding project begins with an honest look at reality. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.